Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You are listening to the Thanks for Trying podcast, episode 2, hosted by The Last Skeptic, with a very special guest, Jordan Stevens of Rizzle Kicks and Holly Dempsey. The following recording is unscripted, unadulterated, and recorded live and very, very drunkenly in a front room in East London, in front of a bunch of mates on my couch. And thus, things get very, very fucking sweary. Thank you to producer Seb White and 808 Whiskey for the alcohol. Enjoy. Ladies and gentlemen, with great pride, I would like to welcome you to episode 2 of the Thanks for Trying podcast, hosted by myself, The Last Skeptic, featuring my very, very special guests, Holly Dempsey and Jordan Stevens. Welcome. Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having us.
I'm looking at you first because you have a really fetching bow on your head.
No, it's your fairy lights.
Okay, there's no actual bow.
There is a bow, I can see it.
Do you know what? Funny story about this bow, straight in there. I went to see Doc Brown's show about a year ago, that's where I met Ed, and took a picture with both of them. And I had this on, but I put it, I mean, I don't know, you can't see this because it's a podcast, but it's a hairband. Yep. But it was in the wrong way, so it was like flat on my head. So when I got the pictures home, my mum was saying, oh, Doc, because he gave me some CDs that night. She said, oh, he put them on your head. What did he put them on your head for before the picture? So,
Wait a second. So your mum thought he'd given you a balanced CD on
my head. Because it was this, but just like out to the side.
Wow, big up your mum.
Yeah, I mean, she says what she thinks.
Does she like to balance stuff on your head? Is that
always
a thing that...
Well, I'm short, so it's like, it's sort of just a thing that people do, isn't it?
And what have you got on your head today?
I've got a bandana, actually.
Where did you source such a bandana?
I sourced a bandana from Blitz. That is a vintage store in Brick Lane.
Shout out, guys.
What happened is, I was lost for a few years, you know? And walking through, you know, the crowded, multicoloured, multicultural streets of East London, I really found myself, and I found that through the means of vintage clothing and overpriced avocado and egg poached egg.
You know, nine times out of ten, breakfast. if someone wanted to assassinate me, all they'd need to do is just like look for a stand where there's a lot of avocados, because I'm going to be there squeezing them.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like just squeezing those up, just like
so.
Oh,
you mean as in you're definitely going to be at an avocado stall during the day?
Nine times out of ten,
that's not good to put out on a podcast. You might want to cut that bit.
98% of the day, that's where I'll be squeezing avocados.
Hey, Tesco. Yeah,
you know, when I was a kid, I used to wear a bandana, like a bad boy, but it was around my neck, and everyone thought I was like a real cool like.
Where did you grow up? You grew up in Brighton, right?
I grew up in Neasden.
Neasden?
Yeah. I grew up in a shithole.
Why does everyone think you grew up in Brighton?
Because that's what we're all about musically, you know? Yeah. Like, because I went to Brighton when I was like 11, and it was because my mum, we were in such a rough area, and my mum was like, you need to be by the sea. Oh. And I was like, you're right, I suppose.
Nothing
I mean,
bad
there's a little
happens
bit
by
of opposition.
The sea, does it?
Well, I kind of got into the Brighton, groove quite quickly, but I was a little bit aggy when I got there. I remember I started like 2 or 3 fights within my first week, but then I was then I was just really happy. But I wasn't even that aggy in London. That's what confused me. I was quite happy. I think Brighton just pissed me off for a bit. But then,
also, there's a whole fish out of water mentality, you know, the way where if you go somewhere and you're not even like that, it's like a hark back to where you're from to feel like it's a pride thing. Yeah, I'm from that place, so you know what I mean. I'm gonna fight.
But you know what? If you're in Brighton, you get like a pass if you act like you're from London,
right?
Because like I remember in clubs in Brighton, if you want to get through a club, you just limp and people just part like the Red Sea. Wow. I don't know what they're scared of. I think they're scared of a stabbing or something.
Pirates.
Yeah, they're a little bit out of touch. Cool. And what's better are the people from Brighton who think they're from London. Yeah. They're the best. They just come out of the types of shit. They're like, yeah, bruv, like one time like I hit my cat with a hammer. It's like, that's not rude, boy. That's really upsetting.
Mentally. Do people do that in Brighton?
I've seen someone shoot their cat out of a window with a BB gun.
Oh,
that's how bored you
boredom,
get.
Boredom, isn't it?
Wait, they put the cat in the BB gun.
No, the cat was called Buddha. The cat. So this is real talk. This is real facts right now. Hashtag real facts.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for trying podcast. I saw my friend shoot his cat, who was called Buddha, out of a window with a BB gun.
He's going
Can
to
I
a bad place.
Can I go back
place.
To my former point?
Sorry. Though? Yeah. Sorry.
I had a handkerchief. People thought I was a cowboy. I mean, kids my age thought I was a cowboy, yeah. But I actually had it there because I was an excessive dribbler.
Mm.
I used to just. Fluid would just run from my mouth.
I did not see that coming.
Yeah. I used to dribble a lot.
That's the best reason for having a bandana around your face.
Holly, do you dribble much?
That's one of those questions you go straight to after lie. No.
Oh, right, sure. Yeah.
Any pillow other than black or white,
shit.
And it's obvious. I've been caught.
Snail trail.
So you're dribbling.
To Jordan's face.
It's like a pond.
So you're dribbling daytime, nighttime.
Pond. No. Anytime. Just at night now. But yeah. When I was a kid,
are you dribbling now?
I've dribbled on a plane before.
Okay. So Holly,
hello.
You were obviously in Derek, and I only watched it because I met you.
Oh, that's nice. That's like a backwards compliment.
It was great.
Fine. Yeah, and his mate Doc Brown's in it.
It was literally an advert. You snooze, you lose.
You know
what took you so long?
I don't know.
Not because, so long things on Netflix.
So much pornography. If I'm honest, like it just takes up so much of my time.
And Derek's not quite the same, is it? Doesn't quite give you the same buzz in the old people's zone.
It
depends what you're into, really.
True. Yeah.
If you're into old
gilfs
people,
and milfs,
then
and
Derek is a wank bank.
Good gilfs.
Yeah, good gilfs. What's that? Great.
Great.
Great. Grannies.
Yeah, great.
Great grannies.
Good gilfs.
Good girls.
Good girls. Yeah, so no, I watched it because I'd met you and you were like, this is what I do, you know, this is what I've been in. You should watch it and, you know, be a good friend. You
didn't say any of that, but yeah.
Didn't say any of that. I felt guilty in my own mind. So I watched it. The show was great. You were a 5 out of 10.
Thank you. That's more than I could have wished.
So what was it like working with?
With Ricky?
Yeah, because he's
that's
just...
That's the question always... So someone I know worked with Rihanna, and when I asked him, what's she like? He was like, oh, whatever, everyone asked me that.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, well, everyone asked me about Ricky, but I'll answer
know,
it.
I literally haven't asked you before.
Yeah, exactly.
I understand you've been asked it loads of times, but for me, that's that is a fair. Unique experience.
Exactly. Ask me again, and I'll...
Literally, how's it been working with Ricky Gervais?
Yeah, it was amazing, man. It's just how you'd imagine, I think. He's got his finger on the pulse as well. Like, he's just really funny, hilarious. You just laugh all day long, and he finishes at 4 o'clock. So that's like a dream job. Yeah. And night shoots will go on till 6. Like, that is...
That's it.
Yeah.
No business, no tiring, no...
Wow.
I suppose on a comedy level, that's quite essential.
Yeah, so and mockumentary
What's his reason to finish it at?
Well, I think it's mockumentary style, so you've got at least 2 cameras, and they're going to be...
You get it done quite quickly.
Yeah, you get it done quicker. Yeah. But also, I think just the fact that Derek's his own production company, so it is Ricky. Like, if anything you want to find out anything, just ask him. And because he's got that power, he's just thinking, well, let's have an evening.
Yeah.
Let's finish at 4. It's getting dark after that, so there's not a lot more we can do. Bang it out in the day, get as much done as we can.
Yeah.
Then you go home, everyone's happy. No one can complain coming back the next morning.
No, exactly.
One's sort of like, oh, I just didn't get home till so and so.
Out of interest, how do you feel about old people's homes as yourself?
Well, I never had any grandparents, so to be honest, it was beautiful. Yeah, so that was just like adopting like 30 old people who just wanted to. Oh, it was great. I used to do their nails and everything. I loved it. Saying that though, the whole place was filled with like flower presses and knitting and all of these kind of things that our grandparents have. What the hell are our old people's homes going to be like? It's just going to be iPads,
Game Boys.
I just think we should all ship all. I reckon what they should do, is you should have a test at about 75.
Yeah.
Should have a contribution to society test. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you kind of like, because some old people are fucking irritating, let's just be honest. Like, some old people have like a hearts of gold and they're really sweet and they smile all the time and give you chocolates and shit. Yeah. Mm. Some old people are just rotten. Like, they're literally like, one of my grandmas pissed me off. Like, after the age of like 70, no, like 81, I was like, she can die whenever, and it's fine.
Do you think,
let me finish. Don't let me finish on my dad can go whenever. Like, fucking hell. There's a resolution.
No, I think we should move on from there. So,
so I'm saying, you do the contribution society test. God forbid, like, so everyone's dead now, so we're good.
Right,
but like, one of them, she's like beautiful. They're both amazing in their heyday. I'm talking about dementia vibes, yeah. Like one of them, amazing. She'd probably pass it. The other one, a bit like, we're going to send you to like an island somewhere. Yeah. I'm thinking maybe of Europe, southern parts where it's hot and they can frazzle.
Or like The Rock in and Nicolas Cage's
leave them all there and they can all have their like weird conversations with themselves. Completely self-sufficient, all the taxpayers' money will just go into like food and like Scrabble, and then...
Did you know in places like Sweden, their old people's homes are like whole little towns, which is incredible.
See, that makes sense.
And they've got fake bus stops, fake shops, so you can let them wander. Go on, Elsie, go and get your
avocados. They need to let them walk and be insane with each other because it's just like you have creches, don't you?
Yeah.
I suppose that's ridiculous.
No, it's true. They kind of, you go back to the other end though, don't you? You need care again.
Put them on like Bear
Grylls
is the island, isn't it? And see what happens.
Or like Casino, not Casino Royale, Battle Royale.
Or Royale, give them all weapons.
Yeah, Battle Royale.
Jesus,
or
backpacks.
Sick. I rate that.
Old people with weapons, I've got to do that.
I've got loads of actors who'd really be up for that as well.
Old people with weapons.
Okay, cool. So what I was going to say is that people forget, you know, you always assume when you see an old person, they're going to be, you know, they've got to be sweet and lovely, but we do forget that
some of them are cunts
because people are, there are a percentage of people that are fucking cunts and they become old.
They didn't used to be.
Let me clarify this
You see Catherine Tate's character of that, what a load of old shit. Yeah, that's not birthed from nothing. Yeah. Like these people had phenomenal, like my gran, who got a bit nasty with dementia, she had a fucking amazing life. She had like, she'd gone around the world, she's, you know, been an artist, she's been a writer, she's been everything. But she, sometimes dementia gets you, man, it'll take the wrong part of your head. Yeah. You start dissing really nice people and shit. Yeah. Like I remember this woman came into our old people's home, she was like, Jackie, just wondered what you'd like for dessert this evening. Would you like a fruit salad or an apple crumble? She went, I think I'll have fruit salad. She went, okay, bye. She went, what a bitch. It's like, fucking hell, man.
Yeah.
Fucking knobhead. She tried to tell me as well that I nicked her shit. One time she told me, she goes, Jordan, can you not steal my stuff and put it on Antiques Roadshow? And I was
wow.
Trying to steal your stuff, Grant.
It's a bit like Dreams,
though. Take it off Antiques Roadshow.
I was like, does it count if it's in the will? Because I don't know what
just don't watch TV on Wednesday, okay? That's like my nan is 90 and she's the most incredible human being on the planet, right?
Right now.
And she's the best. Pearl, Nana Pearl.
Oh,
she's
I heard
the best.
About Nana Pearl.
And she basically...
does she do gardening?
No, she doesn't.
Okay.
So she, I'm sure she did at one point. She's always got this incredible sense of humor, and I always hear these stories about her either via her directly or via my parents. And when she went into a doctor's, you know, she broke her hip last year, and there was before that she was in and out of the doctors, and at one point where the main doctor was like, oh, you're gonna have to go behind the screen and, you know, change into something and strip off. She went behind the screen and started going da 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 da.
Oh, yes. Nana skeptic,
yes,
yeah.
Nana
Oi, Wagwan, Nana skeptic. I want to book her for a party if it's all right.
Oh,
she's my mate's 21st in a couple days.
She'd kill it.
Yeah.
She'd absolutely kill it.
Sick.
She's the best.
Still
see, some of them are brilliant, you know, like, and we will be those old people if we make it. Like the amount of substances that we allegedly take.
No, I'm doing heroin at 80. Fact. When I get 75 plus, I'm doing
like in a couple of hours. Oh shit!
One thing I was gonna say, I was also present for my nan breaking a hip twice. I felt like I was cursed, man.
Oh no!
Yeah, St Answell Park, Brighton. I was on them zip wires. You know, when you sit on it and you're like,
with
great.
Her? You
she,
were
no,
with
she
her?
Was. She was. I wasn't on it with her.
Oh, I was gonna say. Well, that's why she broke her hip.
She broke her hip chasing me on it. She ran into a tree.
Oh,
don't laugh.
Oh no, that's not funny. Right. I don't like these things. My mum fell over.
What the fuck
are
you doing,
pub,
bro? That's my gran. She fucked her hip. Yeah.
Mm.
Then like 2 years later, I was at hers. I was 11. I ran into her room to tell her something. I was excited. I don't know. Maybe I'd seen something cool.
Yeah.
Well, I was asking her for a biscuit, and I made her jolt, and she slipped on the skirt on her bed, and she broke her hip again.
Oh no.
I know.
Right. Well, be careful, everyone.
I won't. I didn't mean to do it, guys.
Have you told the court this?
Yeah,
it's dead now, so it's fine.
Oh shit!
So it's fine, or
straight after?
The hip's fine. I mean, it's
the hip's all right.
Yeah, it's no longer in use. Guys, seriously though, RIP Grand.
RIP Jordan's Grand.
Free Grand.
Free Grand.
Hashtag we should get the strings coming in now.
Listen. So, born out for the dead granny.
Well, speaking of dead grannies, you recently starred in Dad's Army.
Jesus, so your links are amazing.
How was that film?
Well, they're all alive for start, I think.
Bill Nye. My hero is another hero. Stop working with my heroes. How about that?
Hey, this isn't about you, Jordan. People.
Sorry, you're right.
Jesus. Okay. Yeah, man, it was great. What a good flipping job. The first rehearsal was a bit mental. You're just sitting there. Emily Atack was on one side of me and Blake Harrison, and I love them anyway. Mm. It's like people my age, and we were chatting, and then every time the door opened, it was just another, oh my God, Alison Steadman. Or was Bill Nighy or Catherine Bill Jones, Patterson. Man. She wasn't at the rehearsal, because, you know, she doesn't need to rehearse.
She's feisty, man.
She looks so beautiful
she's
in the film.
She's the epitome of sass.
Yeah, exactly. She's got that, yeah.
Was
that
she, so she's cool in real life?
Yeah, she's lovely. Right. And she's a real Welsh bird, and all. She was sort of back home with her mum and everything, she got a lot more sort of down to earth and a lot more Welsh.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So she maintained the accent, even though Michael Douglas has been ploughing her with American accent.
Is that what he's been doing? I didn't realise.
She does sound more American in interviews.
Yeah, yeah. I think that now that she was sort of back home, we're filming in Scarborough, so she's got like a Welsh-American purr, but when she's nice. Back
her.
Home...
Oh, you just added to the sass.
It's true, though, she does.
Yeah. I would definitely have sex with her.
Yeah, I think I might. Also, yeah. I shouldn't say that. I should find that really weird.
Mine sounds like you're
proactively
going to do that. That sounds achievable. Mine is purely unachievable.
Okay. I'm
so jealous right now.
So what did she eat from the catering table?
Plums.
Fuck knows. I don't know. I didn't follow
her.
Why
weren't you watching her?
What? Because I didn't know that this is all that people are going to ask afterwards. And it's true. Like, I talked to the Daily Mail and all they want to know about was...
What did she eat from the table?
Yeah, I don't know. She got her mum to get her stuff while she was rehearsing lines, probably.
What did you eat from the catering table?
I don't remember now. I was so cold all the time. And so, like, I was doing Derek at exactly the same time. So right. I was on a train every single night to London, West London, film there. Back up on a train to Scarborough, film that. Back down the next night, so I was don't really remember much. It's a shame that it can't be more spaced out, though, isn't it? Because like after that was it.
He's travelled from his bed roughly half a metre.
Well, he's told us he likes to do things by halves, and it works.
No, sometimes I have a wank on the porch.
Yeah, just for the neighbour's sake.
Yeah,
Corin.
Yes.
How many times do you masturbate a day?
15 to 20.
He thought he was asking the questions.
15 to 20. That is absolutely outrageous. I want a real answer. You can't possibly produce that much 15, sperm.
I mean, do you want to test me? Meet me from 12 a.m.
Surely based on arousal, 12 a.m. tonight.
24 hours.
It's heating up, isn't it?
That makes me feel a little bit sick. Yeah. But purely because I'm so stubborn, I might do that.
Okay, cool. I'll see you there.
Literally, what do you type into search porn? When you search porn, what do you type in?
Jordan Stevens.
Okay, no, I'm being serious. Why can't you be honest about this?
This is 2016. This is an interview.
Open.
Come on.
It's 2016. You're everyone's open about questions. Stuff. What do you search for in porn? What do you look for? No, real talk. What do you search for? Do you put Becky's into it?
Average Becky.
Okay. Average Becky's.
The thing is, people won't understand because there's no. It's not a term that I've actually genuinely.
Do you know what Becky's is?
No, because it's something that got invented very recently, and I'm talking about like 3 or 4 weeks ago.
I thought you had it as a word.
Yeah, I did with me and my mate Joe.
Oh, and then I jumped on real quick.
Basically, I got told that I'd go for very pleasant girls. As in, that looked like they could be called Becky.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh my God, you knew!
So, like, this is what
that one man
my best friend in the world, Joe, big up Joe, she was telling me, she was basically saying to me, you know, you get da 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 da. So, from now, all my close compadres, Jordan included, now know that, like, this looking running joke. Where they're just looking out for
too many Becky's, bro.
Becky's. Too many Becky's. Too many Becky's
in this world.
She needs to stay away from Becky's. So,
yeah. Or search them in Pornhub. Do you know when I was 15 and I was fully into wanking? Mm. I once searched for Victorian porn. So I was thinking about corsets.
I'm not sure why.
Couldn't find it.
They're bringing corsets back.
I'm
now,
assuming there's some Pride and Prejudice kind of fucking like porn zombie fucking refix.
There's got to be for the women out there. Do you know what my friend though? She searched. I won't name her. Of course.
Yeah, go on.
I shall not be naming my friend. But she.
She's not a porn star.
Called me one day. No, she's not a porn star. But she called me one day. She's like, "Hi, babes. I'm just about to go to sleep, right?" She was like, "But I've been searching." She won't mind me telling you this, as long as I don't tell you her name. I've been searching for the last. Becky.
Yes! Yes!
Can I get her number?
Yeah, yeah. No, well, wait till you hear the story first. Sure. No, but she said, I've been searching for at least an hour and a half, babe. All I want to see is a video of a black couple just kissing and making out. You know, having a lovely... And I was like, oh, I was sort of joking Soul about train. For ages. But then she was like, yeah, she was like, I can't find it anywhere. And she was like, no, but I think this is part of a bigger problem. She was like, why can't I can find Braces a black man and a white woman and all of this, or big dicks, this... You can't find a normal couple, a black couple, just making out and kissing and making love. And she searched, and then I was like, oh, but put on, I don't know, baby boy or something. She was like, yeah, but you know they cut before he takes his trousers off, and I've got work in the morning, I ain't got time.
So that's outrageous. Literally, actually, all she'd have to do is watch the music video of any kind of like early noughties R&B star.
Yeah.
Ellie, I'm talking Cisco, Genuine, Joe...
Yeah, I think she wants a bit more than that. I think she wants the stage snogging. After. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, she wants the stage
wants
after
the
as well.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She
yeah,
wants
yeah,
kissing.
Yeah.
Wow, so romance
it's got
is dead. That's what we're saying.
Yeah. Just kissing. You know what? I get it. I get it.
Not but just kissing, but, you know, making love.
Wait, is there more than kissing?
I've never even thought of
you're
that.
Okay,
so hold on. Yeah. I'm going to pull up, yeah. I'm pulling up. Now, porn's had to recheck itself, bruh. There's too many women out there who want good-looking guys who treat women with fucking respect, and I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I don't want any of that like fucking rapey bullshit.
You know
in fact,
mean?
My favourite is college dorms. So, what's that all about?
And he's out.
I've actually found, by the way, I've got a really chic... I've got like, the Apple iPhone of porn websites,
go
if
on.
Anyone wants them. I'm not telling you it. Completely a secret.
Go on then.
It's like, it's just got a white background, real simple, straight to the point.
Mm-hmm,
it's great. None of that fucking advert bullshit.
That's it.
I'm not saying what it is.
No?
Yeah, it's rizzlekicks.com.
Okay! Oh, fantastic. So you've been telling me a lot about how you listened to the last podcast and something that our good friend Ed Skrine mentioned.
Check your arsehole and fuck
Check
it.
Check your arsehole and fuck it. That was amazing. Jesus.
So this resonance. So Jordan, I'll come to you in a second. So this is something.
Sorry, I stole your question.
No. This is you know. Jordan talks so
you
fucking
stole
much.
Anything.
We just need to shut him up for a minute. So you basically this has resonated with you too.
Oh, completely. I felt it right in my arsehole as he said it. I thought, what a funny.
You felt it in the arsehole as he said it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Same. Have you not? If you haven't, you haven't done it properly. Try again. Yeah, when he started talking, I thought, this is, oh my God, because you really lean in, you go, as an actor, you're like, oh my God, this is
he
it.
Say?
Amanda, what's he saying?
So the background is, if you haven't heard episode one, which
you should have,
should've. And I don't really know what you're doing just listening to episode
you know
two,
I mean?
It's a bit strange.
It's probably more chance of the one thing, because neither of us have worked with Ryan Reynolds.
Who listened to the podcast.
You?
Oi, who might be listening to this podcast.
He's fucking better. And if you do, Ryan, rate Deadpool Cars Safe. Sick film, fam.
Big up Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah,
should
time.
Just make the rest of this
whole
just to
time,
him,
Ryan
like,
Reynolds.
Message to Ryan.
I think pretty much every single episode from this
I'd wank him off, fact.
You'd wank off Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, fact.
That's fair enough. So, the first episode, Ed Skrine with his acting, the biggest bit of acting advice that he got from his acting coach of relaxing his arsehole and fucking it. Not literally, of course. And this is many people that have listened to the show.
Sometimes.
That's a big thing that has resonated. Holly Dempsey.
God.
So you're going to bring this advice with you through to when you're next filming?
Yeah. Tell the likes of Catherine Zeta-Jones and Bill Nighy.
Yeah.
When they pass on their wisdom to me, I'm going to go, but you know what really helps? Checking your arsehole.
About that arsehole.
Yeah. And when he first said it, I thought, what? Where are you going with this? But it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, of course it does.
But just the way he dropped it.
Is
and like Ed's got such a lovely way of like going through this, and you think, yeah, go on, what is it? Check your arsehole.
What can you? What
I
can
love
you,
Ed Skrine.
What can you tell us
about
the
eat up?
The eat up was sick.
Exactly. Who knows about that? That's history, cuz.
Mind out was sick.
Done now.
Because you're a UK rap head.
I was in that scene as a ute.
Because one of the first things you told me when I met you was that you were like, oh, I remember listening to that record when I was like sleeping on Syntax's couch or whatever.
Yeah.
Like about what my first album you were saying or something like
some
that.
Old school some shit.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And so
I think you were on a on the top of Hip Hop Connection competitions. Yeah. I used to always nick them.
That's mad because I was at university at the time and I was doing my degree in sociology.
Preppy
you know
loser.
What I mean? Sociology.
Jack Wills #JackWills.
And so I was doing this degree.
Jack Wills, cuz.
Making my first album, first couple of years, before I moved to America for a bit, and then I came back for my final year, and my first album was done, Broken Window, with Verb T. And,
Ooh.
That's the one.
I remember that.
So there I was.
You didn't have a beard then?
I didn't.
Oh, wow. So what is that like?
I mean, look, I'm not going to say the same joke.
Like, he looks like a kind of B-list WWE wrestler.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I can see that.
Like a paper plate, basically. Mm. Pretty much. I look like a pie chart without a beard. But you know what? I've got to use new jokes because in the first episode, I said I looked like a Mr. Potato Head without any features put on it.
It's different to a pie chart.
I listened to the podcast, so I heard that
joke. So you heard that joke. So now I need to think of new ones. So listeners at home, intrepid listeners, email in what you think I look like without a beard. And
I love that intrepid is two podcasts. It's like the guys who've been there since the beginning.
Thank you, guys. So there I was.
You look like a monster munch.
Thanks. But that doesn't make any sense.
I know, it's just like abstract with it.
Bear in mind, okay.
Does he look like a monster munch?
Pickled onion.
Just so you know, so listeners at home, right now Jordan's got green hair. So just so you know that for any future reference.
I'm like a human lawn.
That doesn't even make any sense.
And yet it's true.
So true though.
It's like a human lawn. So there
and I can't do green screen work because my hair disappears.
Yeah, you look bald.
I swear to God, I went to a photo booth the other day and it was a green screen photo booth and my hair wasn't in any photos.
Have you lost jobs because of your hair?
Sorry, I have had not one audition. I've had not one audition since I've dyed my hair green.
It's not been
my
long
agent
though, right?
Keeps saying that. Huh?
Your hair hasn't been green for long, right?
Like a month and a bit. I mean, I'm gonna throw it out there. No one's looking for a mixed race rapper with green. I sing as well these days.
It'll come round.
I don't know why I'm mentioning anything musical with acting, but like
just sit underneath a
mixed
rainbow
race
for a bit.
Green hair and a tash. Nope. Okay, I'm waiting for it.
Yeah.
So there I was, final year of uni, and finishing this album. And
I like hip hop. Is that the bottom line?
The biggest
I like
fucking thing. This is not all about you, Jordan.
Isn't it?
The biggest thing about that had happened to me in my life was that I mixed a CD that was on the cover mount CD of Hip Hop Connection. That was it.
I bought it. I bought Hip Hop Connection.
Nice. Thanks.
I was also in Hip Hop Connection as a 15-year-old with a jumper that I made myself.
Wow.
I bought a plain white jumper from Primark, and then I got iron-on transfers, and yes. I got an Innocent Smoothie carton, scanned it into Photoshop, and changed it from Innocent Smoothie to Rizzle's Creative Juices. So, marketing myself, really.
Yes.
Also had a bunch of R's all over myself, and then Stig in the Dump came up to me and went, "Did your mum make that?" And I went, "No, I did." And he couldn't respond because you've got to respect the graft.
You know what I mean?
I was Butter Ute, and that was what brought me up, the scene that brought me up. And then, you know, it only took me 3 years to transform myself into a mainstream pop artist and lose all credibility with an hip hop scene.
Yeah, true. Yeah. So, are you working
actually,
on the...
Actually, fuck that. I can out-rap anyone. Fuck all of you, bro.
But also, you're working on a new Rizzle Kicks album.
Yeah. Mm. And my rapping's better than ever.
It really is. You know what? As much as I want to, like, take the piss out of you... and
I'm self-deprecating, so I do it anyway.
It's pretty good.
Thank you, man.
And it's so tell us before.
Wait, tell everyone I can rap.
You honestly, 100%. He's definitely a 4 out of 10.
Oh, that's less than I was in
killing
Derek.
Killing it, like so good.
I love
like,
your new album, though.
You know what, though, Riz Ahmed gave me a very good piece of advice. It's not quite Marlon Brando, but Riz Ahmed. I mean, big on up, his way though. No, on his way, Riz Ahmed's a phenomenal actor.
Big up Riz, man.
Actually. Fucking better than Marlon Brando. I don't do that shit right now. Mm. Riz Ahmed said to me one time when I used to have writing sessions with him because I was so frustrated that I couldn't properly express myself as a writer and I felt like I had a huge potential that I was only momentarily touching on. So we used to sit down and kind of just free write with each other. Mm. And I was like, oh, but Riz, man, I got these raps, I got these punchlines and no one gets it. Like, they don't understand me. And he went, if everyone gets you, what point do you have to prove?
Deep. Wow,
there's a truth in that. Even my pal was saying today, we're like, oh, you know, it's a matter of time until you're this or that, until you've got your fucking swimming pool.
Don't want to be like,
because as soon as you get there, what's
dead?
Exactly.
You see him, bro. They're so bored.
It's the
people
journey.
Who have done it.
Yeah. It's the journey. Exactly.
It's the journey.
Yeah, I know a few people who are in a situation where they've proved their point. There's always going to be opposition, but they have. Yeah. There's just nowhere else to go, and it's like, and you can see it in their work ethic and what they write about. I think what's been said a lot is that, like, and this is a reason why I just took a year and a half break from Rizzle Kicks, was that when you get famous when you're young, you live in like a suspended, suspended existence. Like, I had to stop a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, because I was just 19 for like 3 years, and it was like wasn't the vibe. So I managed to catch up. whoever's made it from a later age, like late 20s, mm-hmm. early 30s, I want to say made it, like made it, yeah, they're always so grounded because they've lived their whole life. They know what bullshit people go up to. Yeah. They're not dazed, you know? And it's like people like Steve Carell. I've heard Steve Carell, if you meet him, he's like, what shit have you heard about Steve Carell ever?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
he's living his life, he's cool. Same with Ricky Gervais, he's got shit together, he's cool.
Ed's lived such a
full life before that of graft and grind. And you get hip hop, the most difficult fucking subgenre in the world.
You know what, like I've one experience actually with that is when I met Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah.
And I was staying in LA. And there was a guy in Kevin from a band called Broken Social Scene, he was staying there as well. And we were chatting.
Very cool, indeed.
And then I was like, oh, so what are you doing in town? And da 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 da. And he was like, oh, I'm actually here to shoot a video on Thursday. And I was like, oh, sick, what's the video about? And he was like, so the video features basically a comedian, a stand-up comedian. And I was like, oh, sick, maybe I'll come down to your video shoot. And who's the comedian? He's like, oh, it's my mate Zach. Sure. You mean Zach Galifianakis?
Yeah.
So it turns out he's like, yeah, cool. I told him I was a big fan. He was like, listen, drive down, come on lunch break, and I'll introduce you to Zach. And so I get down there onto set. They're all breaking for lunch, and I walk in and I see Zach in the corner, like sat on a table. And I'm like, I'm such a big fan. Like, I'm not gonna say anything to him. So basically, he comes out, says what's up, and I'm like, I'm obviously quite excited because he's a fucking hero, you know. So we're having a chat. We chat for like half an hour, like, you know, a good fucking 20 minutes solidly of just like chatting away. And he's like, have you got a copy of your new album? This is the time that my record Thanks for Trying just came out. And I was like, you know what? I've got a CD. So I gave him the CD and he's like, oh, amazing. I'm going to cherish this. I'm going to play this in the car. He looks at it and then he throws it. And then he stares at me. Zach Galifianakis stares me in the eyes. And I'm like, what do I do?
Oh my God.
And then he goes, no, I'm just kidding. He goes and picks it up, dusts it off, and he goes, no, in all honesty, man, I'm going to cherish this. I'm going to play it in the car. I was like, all right, cool, man, no worries. And then he walks over to a bin, and then he puts it in the trash. And then he walks back. And then he walks back all the way over to me and just looks me in the face. And I'm like, I don't know what to do right now. And then he goes, no, I'm just kidding. He goes right to the trash, picks it out, dusts it off. And then I'm like, but you know what? Like, he was so cool. Like, he just came he starts telling me the story. He goes, you know what? I used to do this all the time at script meetings. People would like come in with like new scripts. And I would walk in the morning and go, guys, this script is wonderful. This is fantastic. And whilst standing up and walking over and putting it in the bin. And then walking out.
It's an old gag.
I do it all the time. Comes back to our point about what we were saying about when people are old, slightly older and know what to do when they get this kind of fame. He knew I wanted a photo. He could tell I wanted a photo. And so
because you had a camera out.
Because I had a camera out, I was naked from the waist down. He turned around, Zach, and went, you know what we should do before you go? We should get a photo.
Oh, he knew.
That's really cute, man.
So sixth sense.
I've met some safe celebrities. Do you know he's a fucking cunt?
Who?
Lizzo from Newsround.
No!
I'm gonna break all your hearts now. No. If you were born in the fucking 90s and you think that bloody
Lizzo Mazimba,
you think that fucking bald headed glass wearing yeah, I'm not that annoyed of him, but he is a twat. No. Listen, real talk. Yeah.
You know I'm keeping this in, right?
In order, I will befriend him and unfriend him on Facebook. Like, I'll give you the lowdown. I'm going to say something that's outrageous and you're going to ask me why. And it's a long story. Basically, when I was a kid, I won a competition and it got way blown out of proportion. And I ended up I ended up representing the UK in the G8+5 environmental conference in Japan.
I thought you were street, bro. I thought you were street.
Cut that bit out.
I can't.
I was in Brighton at the time.
I was in the road maybe 5 to 6 years earlier. But yeah, anyway, so I was at Downing Street.
This gets worse. I was in the street.
Having a talk with Gordon Brown.
Not real.
It's fucked up. Anyway. Road things though, done now. Oh, right, climate change is real, cause it's out here. Free climate. And then like
free climate, hashtag free climate.
Free ozone, hashtag free the ozone. But yeah, this Lizzo dude as Lizzo dude. I loved him. I've seen him as a kid, you know. I'm going, oh my god, I'm getting on News Round. They're like, they want to interview on News Round. I go and talk to him, and the dude is chatting to me. Yeah, I bear in mind I'm like 13 or 14, yeah. 14, and he's going, so like, how does it feel to be down the street? But for the record, for the purposes of the podcast, I'm looking the opposite direction to where I'm supposedly holding the mic. He ignored even my mum. My mum was about to fuck him up. Like, my mum's mum's behind this barrier going like, are you serious? You know, yeah. Asked questions, looked around, like checking the time and shit. You remember when Dom Jolly used to do that sketch on Chicka Happy TV?
Chicka Happy.
It was like that. And you know what's worse? From that point, I was like, you know what? You're in my bad books. I've literally got a blacklist of people. There's a few people on there. Lisa from News Round, Jeremy Clarkson, twat. Well, I've got kicked in the shin by Kate Moss there. That was a highlight of my life.
Oh yes.
Piers Morgan.
Oh yeah, standard. Really?
Right, so I say he's on my blacklist, yeah, and that's not a racial thing. There's like white people on it. And like and I was at Public, which was a pub, it was a club that used to be in Chelsea. And me and Harley had the hookups with the owners. We used to go there, just drink a bunch of alcohol and that, and hang out with Poshies. And dudes walked in like he's come straight from the CBB fucking C Centre. I've never seen someone look more pervy in his life. You are a perv, loser from News Round. I'm sending for you right now. Come at me on Twitter, bruh. Watch and release his next album. You better hope you don't interview me. It's war. 14, I don't forget this shit.
Lisa better learn how to rap.
I don't forget this shit, bruh.
As a waitress, I used to meet people because I used to work in a theatre, in a Caribbean restaurant inside a theatre. And I'd meet people and I'd be like, oh my God, look who it is. And then if they treat you nicely, you're like,
trust me.
Legend. And if they don't, of course I still remember it. And I was at an award show the other night and someone who'd snubbed me big time as a waitress was just like so rude to me. And that sent my friend home in tears and then was at the award show the other night. So I just thought, oh look, we're all both dressed up at the same award show.
Name and shame. Name and shame.
I feel sorry for him because he looked like an old sad man, so I'm not gonna.
If you do fuck with people, like you're just tempting fate. Yeah. Like, I genuinely believe that if you're like that to someone, you're probably gonna help them become better. Like, one example of that is Ed Sheeran. Like, Ed's a good friend of mine,
be it what
people think about his music. Like, I think he's phenomenal, he's clearly proved it. But oh my god, the amount of stories you hear. I was even party to some of them on the way, and it's just like, why? I just think to myself, why did that person say that to him? Because it's just you're just giving him that force. Yeah. Like, I remember, now Ed's proved that all of the kind of people have just told him he's going to be shit. It's not even about comparing.
I heard that you can probably verify this. Mm. I heard that on the way up, a record company said that they loved him. They're going to take him.
My record label.
But want to dye his hair. They want to dye his hair.
They were just told him he wasn't good looking enough and shit.
Fuck off. I remember the first time I saw Ed Sheeran on stage, my friend's Lyric Lounge. He put on a night with like comedians and actors and music at the Lyric Lounge. And so we didn't know who this guy was. Didn't even know his name. This ginger guy just comes on stage with his guitar. Takes a little while to set up because he's doing his pedals and stuff. So it's a young audience as well, just like flipping 18 to 22. So that's a tough crowd, as we all know. Like, that's the toughest. They're so honest. And we're all sitting there getting a bit restless, like, oh, come on, mate. And then from his first strum, like, you watch him making the music in front of you, don't you, with the pedals.
Crazy.
By he did three songs. By the end, every single person was on their feet, just like, oh my God, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah, I rate that.
And
I rate that so much.
But, like, even though I never saw him at the time, which is really quite weird that I never actually saw him at any of these,
judge some Don't Flop battles.
Oh really? Yes. Sick. But like, I always rated his hustle, like, no matter what. Like, where it's hustles, songwriting, ridiculous.
A thousand shows.
Crazy.
Slept on my mum's couch.
Madness.
Nice.
I still wedgie him though, standard off.
Standard wedgie.
Ed, you're getting wedgie car.
So I think right now we're going to take our tradition of piss break, and then we'll have
kind of
our shot.
Yay! Shot.
So welcome back to the Thanks for Trying podcast. We did the tradition of a piss break, and now the second tradition number two.
I like chicken.
Oh,
we ate chicken too. We had Nando's delivery. So thank you to Daisy. Thank you for
old time Daisy.
So right now, the next tradition is shout out to our podcast sponsors of the booze today, of our alcoholism. Ooh. Which is 808 Whiskey.
Fucking founded by my don, Tommy D, who is a producer on my project Wildhood.
Oh, nice.
Our project.
Oh, sick. So he's a producer as well as a whiskey distiller.
Connoisseur. He loves whiskey, so he just went and did it. Made a team, announced himself.
Cool. So
Well, what do you want?
Fucking hell. Well,
808 is the kick inside. That's the tagline. It's actually really fucking nice whiskies.
Cheers, guys. Like,
big up talking, cheers. Yeah. I'm actually a little bit pissed already from the previous cups.
Yeah, it's fucking delicious.
Tastes like tomorrow morning.
Wow. So
Morning.
That is really delicious. Thank you, 808 Whiskey. Sponsoring.
Yeah, thanks. That's it now. We're finished, right?
I was just going to
call a cab.
So your mate, he makes whiskey and he makes music.
He is a phenomenal producer who made his first hit.
Yeah.
Made his first hit in his bedroom. Guess what it was? You won't be able to guess because that's ridiculous. I'm Too Sexy, Right Said Fred.
Fuck off.
What? Yeah. What a claim to fame.
And then he worked on Catatonia for ages.
Oh, nice.
And also, him and his wife Rosie, who's a phenomenal cellist and multi-instrumentalist actually, they do all the string arrangements for Kanye West and Jay-Z.
Whoa, Jesus.
Technically 1 degree away from Kanye, but
I've just drunk Kanye.
I can't meet him, I've asked. my mum's best friend is a woman called Sandra who
Big up Sandra.
Is actually in the Mama Do the Hump video. She's doing Harley's lyrics.
I did want to ask you about that. My mum's the main rapping, and then
Harley is Sandra, and Sandra's husband, who's kind of like my second dad, like my uncle, Eamon Walker, who's a phenomenal actor. He played he's in Oz.
Oz is amazing, man. You're trying to tell me.
I'm too drunk to remember it now. Anyway, he's an amazing actor. One Christmas, that's where we spent Christmas, is at Sandra and Amos' house in Dollis Hill. And that's where the video was filmed. And one time he's gone to me, "All right, Jordan, so my friend Fish is coming, but just like, don't freak out." So I was like,
"Is he actually a fish?"
I was like, "That doesn't sound like anything I'd freak out about, so whatever." So I was like, "Fine." So we're having Christmas, knock at the door, turn up, Lawrence Fishburne.
Fuck off.
I swear to God, yeah. I'm there getting my little and shit.
How old were you?
Like, I was like 15 or something. I'd definitely seen Matrix a lot. Yeah. and he's just going, "Keep your shit down." And he's going, "Hello, Jordan, I am Lawrence." And I literally, all I could hear was like, "Red pill, blue pill." That's all I could hear was like, "Which one do I want?" And I was like, I don't know.
Serving a turkey, like, would you like the dark meat or the white meat?
Like, "Jordan, do you want a Diet Coke?" And I was just like,
"The red
pill.
Wine or the white wine?"
It was amazing. He's fucking sad.
Are you sure it was him though?
It was definitely Lawrence.
I am not Lawrence Fishburne.
Because he knows him on a fish level. He says fish. Imagine you know someone who goes, "Yeah, fish is
Well, listen, now imagine that story is like, you know, A-list story, okay? Yeah. Now my story is not even a Z-list. This is like minus Z-list story. I'm in LA, I'm at a barbecue, everyone's playing, you know, fucking like beer pong and all that, all sorts.
Great.
There's a great like kind of, you know, there's a good snack buffet. And there's my friend, you know, we're all quite drunk. My friend goes, "Hey, meet my friend Grex." Okay.
Grex.
So I'm like, I turn around and it's fucking Beppe, bruv. It's Michael Greco.
From EastEnders. Yeah. You always think, why would you live there?
Yeah, you know, you're definitely going to die, especially on Christmas Day. Go away.
I watch the shows.
Just get out while you can.
Yo, like Hollyoaks, EastEnders, Gotham is another one, right? And you think, if I was living, if I was living in Gotham, right, and there's a, like, you know, the TV news gets taken over by the Joker, hanging someone upside down, going, you know, do all this shit. I think, mum, I'm looking to move out.
Yeah, how good are the
I'm looking to move out of Gotham because this shit is
how good
not
are the house
vibe.
Prices that you're saying there?
It's just like because the rent is so cheap. Yo, in Morford and Hollyoaks, bro, that rent is so cheap.
Pound a house.
Yeah, they're like, you can live here, but Phil may or may not bulldoze your house, like. You get drunk nearly every year.
Why do people stay there?
Because it's rent free.
And they try and say that there's a train station there, and it's such a small town.
There once, filming an episode of Holby City, which is filmed right next door, and my friend, shout out to Ricky Norwood, he plays Fat Boy in it. Yeah, I think it's still filmed there. Yeah. And
is
you
it
literally,
a real place though? Walford's a real place, right?
God, yeah. I'm not going to let anyone down with that. But you have to go down a little weird alleyway down Elstree Studios to get there. But it's still real, 100%. And I got really shook outside Janine's house. He was like, "This is Janine's house." Because I just thought, she's going to fucking come out and do something mental. And I was in the chip shop, Ian's chip shop, put on the little
Is it fully functional?
Apron. It is. Like, the inside, all the facades of the place, like, all the shops real, and all the house fronts are real. It's outside. The park's real. It's all real. And then the Queen Vic was there. I was like, oh, I'm going to go in there for a drink. He was like, no, don't go in. I was like, no, it's fine. He was like, seriously, don't. I just opened the door. Tune out now if you're a massive EastEnders fan. I opened the door, and it's a tiny little coat cupboard about that big with a broom in it. If you notice, like, everyone opens the door and then disappears inside.
Stop.
I'm so sorry.
Stop.
You can cut that out.
You just ruined my childhood.
No, well, you did it with Lizzo. I find your Lizzo and I raise you, Queen Vic.
Yo, do you know what? That's funny though. I think that's really interesting about, they've covered this in Kirby Enthusiasm loads.
Yeah.
The inability to differentiate between reality and television. And I mean, one of the key moments with Harley and I is we got asked one year to present an award at the Comedy Awards.
Oh, nice.
And it was like, we were loving that, of course. It was the, we presented with Morgana, won the award.
Oh, she's amazing, man.
But like, me and Harley were banging to Homeland at the time. Like, we were like watching this shit avidly to the point that we were both watching an episode on my iPad.
Oh, fuck.
Like, literally outside. Outside, we're finishing it because we had tried to watch it on the train up or the car up.
Yeah.
And we hadn't quite finished it. So we were like to walk into the press and we were like finishing it, right? And there's a character called David Estes, right? I promise you, we finished watching it. It's a deep episode. We've looked up and the fucking actor who plays David Estes is standing there. And like me, like, I have a lot of like principles in terms of meeting famous people. Like, growing up, my principle was like, you only interrupt someone's private space if like there's a mutual respect or a reason to talk. Yeah. Based on the fact that this was within 5 seconds, I mean, seeing him, I just went, David! And his name is actually David.
Oh, like, you're so lucky.
His real name is David. His real name is David. He went, you alright? And I was like, what's going on with Carrie? It's the main character in Homeland. We actually chilled with him the whole time.
You're lucky his name's David.
No, but it didn't stop there, because we've established a David Estes thing. We're like, we're freaking out. Me and Hal's like, okay, it was a bit embarrassing. We shouted David. His name's David. We got away with it. Then we go into the green room to present the award, and John Lithgow, who is a phenomenal actor, is in there, and he plays, if anyone's seen Dexter, he's Trinity. Right, so he's like a bad boy character again.
Yeah.
So me and Harley have just got over the shock of Homeland and are greeted by one of the greatest villains in like recent history on series. And we've looked at him, and the best thing about this is another story of someone being very grounded and understanding the scenario. Me and Harley are cowering. Like, we're looking at this guy, and we must just be staring at him going... And he's clocked us. I remember he clocked us and like carried on talking to his wife, whatever, da da da. And we walked past him and we decided whether or not to say hi. And he turns around and he goes, Dexter.
What?
And me and Ollie were like, oh my God, he's going to murder us.
Oh my God.
Yeah, when you meet people like that you love, and I've had similar, like, you don't just fangirl over someone. I took my mum to an exhibition recently. I get invited to a couple of free exhibitions and plays and stuff, which is perks of the job. Yeah, it's nice. And I take my mum along, we have all the free champagne. But is it Greg Wallace who does MasterChef, walked past my mum, and she just sort of looked up from her chicken leg and Prosecco and just saw him. And it's that thing of like, you've just watched him last night on MasterChef, and it's I watch every week, I know you. See, she just went, hey, Greg! That's what just came out. And I just looked at her like, I'm there, you know what I mean? I've been invited. I was just like, mum, did you just him? She was like, oh, fuck yeah, no, I did, yeah. I was just like, oh, mum, you got to play it cool if I'm going to take you to these places, do you know what I mean? She was like, oh, I don't like him anyway.
She didn't even like him.
I think, yeah, I don't know. She just, it's that familiarity, I think. If you think you know someone, it's like Ian Beale. If I saw Ian, I'd probably go, all right, Ian, how's Kathy? Kathy was like 15 years ago, wasn't she?
I mean, what was the, Kathy was the one who got shot, right?
Yeah. I think
Melanie.
The one for me was Marty McCutcheon. When she got run over, that stayed with me, you know, that thud of her head on the... don't watch it if you're catching up on the omnibus from 1998.
Who would do that?
Shout out to Becky. Love you, Becky.
I was going
to
ask you,
I want to ask you about... Is this okay? Can I, like, rogue?
No, we've already established that you guys aren't allowed to... go on, you tell me what's the question?
That's Cox, because that was was really exciting, and I love
the Buzzcocks.
Yeah, that was fucking. That was amazing. And my mum's always a huge fan of Huey Morgan. Loves him.
I love Huey Morgan.
Yeah,
oh wait, you were on that show with the cup thing, the mug thing.
We were the presenters.
Fuck
that
off.
That was amazing. Yeah. Yeah,
I watched that, but I clearly just tuned you out. I clearly didn't want to recognise you on there.
I'd go as far as say we pretty much were a huge part of that.
The host.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that was mad. Huey Morgan is like a big like hero of mine because Fun Loving Criminals, like Come Find Yourself, I think was the name of their album.
Was that the Scooby Snacks on
And Crime and Punishment and like Bomb in the Air, like it was like my shit. And us and Huey were supposed to make a song together like before, it didn't really work out. Anyway, we're presenting a thing. Only thing they cut out about that whole experience was 30 seconds of me crying with laughter because for anyone who hasn't seen it, Huey Morgan comes on a Buzzcocks show and to be fair to him, he's clearly been on there 5 or 6 times and like the process of it started to bore him, I assume.
I hear that.
So we get to like the finish your song lines section and like I say one of his song lines and he comes back at it, but like throughout the show before that point he had made, there may be reasons as to why he was less with it. He was already in like a hazy state before the show, and like he's drinking a lot during the show, so much so that the producers stopped refilling his mug, which is why it was empty.
There you go.
So like he's really drunk now, and he's like muttering things in the corner, and I'm going to like during other people talking, and I'm like, Huey, bro, like what's this all about? And then gets to the song lines bit, and I say one of the song lines, and he kind of we have a disagreement about it. And yeah, he smashes a mug. And
I mean, I could tell there was a lot cut. Like when I watched it,
it wasn't a lot. It was just me laughing. It was just me laughing because it was like you've got the producer in your ear constantly.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like I remember he got up, smashed the mug. Laura Whitmore was on his team, and Phil Jupiter was furious.
Yeah.
And there was silence, and I just heard the producer go, "Oh shit." And I was just crying. And then I think he was just wound up. I didn't say anything particularly provoking, but I was answering back. I was like, Huey is a fucking...
And you were the host. You had the job to keep the ball rolling.
The thing was, people have asked me since, right? Admittedly, just I suppose dubiously, have gone and kind of gone, weren't you scared? Or like, weren't it... Like, you know, or like, wasn't it you get, because we get aggy, and I was like, the thing that reason why I laughed at that shit, reason why, obviously, we're in a studio, like 200 people, what's he gonna do? Like, stab me with a fucking mug. But the reason I laugh so much is because I have mates that I've grown up with who literally act like that in public, and I have to deal with that shit constantly.
Any of these things on the question.
I've asked a lot of that. Sorry, I've got.
No, I'm just wondering. I just feel like it's a lovely tangent.
Basically written each Thanks for Trying podcast, by each I mean 2 episodes that I've done. I just write a nice little list with things. With why? What are you doing with your face?
I'm doing it in the camera.
Okay, sure. So I've got a list of talking points to talk about with everybody. Just in case Jordan really is boring, basically just to keep me going.
It's a reasonable fear.
That's never going to happen.
I definitely did want to. Well, you know what? We didn't even talk about Splinters. You got fried.
You were so excited. That was the first night, the first night I ever met you, and you were just so excited.
And I had the video.
And we got on so well, and you were like, oh, and you were just, because I think you just got it
edit.
Then.
Yeah, I got the edit that night.
And
I met you at the Doc Brown's I Am Bear launch.
Yes.
Where I was DJing.
That family are outrageously talented,
aren't they? When you find out who your sister is,
Sadie Smith.
Yeah.
I literally tried to apply to her NYU English Literature course.
God, you've had so many lives already.
I didn't actually.
You're only young.
He didn't get into it.
He applied. That's enough. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, you've applied.
But he's also been like the ambassador for China's.
That shit is crazy.
You know what I mean? Like he's kept
that
the world
shit
green.
Is crazy. To be fair, like I would admit, like every time I try and dip it into conversation, people are like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah.
You know what? To be fair,
do you use it to pick up the ladies?
I literally don't.
Please tell me you do.
I can actually beat you though.
Yeah, go.
Because I've addressed a World Bank conference in Brussels completely drunk.
Nice.
And I got a standing ovation.
No way.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Fucking hell.
Yep. It was 9 a.m.
Are you going to give it any more context?
No, it was 9 a.m. And it was a conference on anti-corruption. It was surprisingly run by the World Bank, which is pretty ridiculous in the first place. It was 9 a.m. and I was invited there because, I was invited to perform the night before because I was DJing for a group that I met when I was in a Palestinian refugee camp in Lebanon, who I'd met out there, and they'd asked me to DJ for them, which is a story for another day. Big up iVoice. And yeah, so I was there, and then I just got
Gaza, shout out Jon Snow,
you know what I mean. So I was there getting really, I was there just completely smashed from the night before.
Wow.
And I, it was 9 a.m. and for some reason I just kind of, I don't know how I got there. I guess I must have just looked at a schedule that I wasn't supposed to be on and walked into this conference, World Bank conference, and they'd handed me the mic. So
wow,
I just,
what do you do?
That's amazing.
So what I did was I just, when I don't have any memory of anything that I said, but I know I did just, you know, I had like all of this memory. I did my degree in sociology, so yeah, I knew a lot about it anyway. So I just went on there and I did this whole like mad speech. It's about amazing corruption and
write that.
I played the Grand Old Duke of York through my nose on Ronnie Scott's stage.
What? At Ronnie Scott's?
I mean everyone had left by then. Okay. And it was like, you know, like the cleaners had come out and they were hoovering and stuff, and I was on the stage. My parents were there, my uncle was there. Shout out to my uncle, shout out to my parents and my brother.
Big up.
Don't know. And I was just there with it. Okay, they're like, go on, that's love. Go boy on, love. And like, okay, I know what to do. And you don't think it's like hilarious at that age. You just think, yeah, this is the, what I'm good at.
How old are you?
It was last week. It was about 8.
You know, when I was like,
when I was seven.
When I was like 12, I remember in the school playground, like, you know, in the Covent Garden, people hand out these things. They're like wooden things. You put this up your mouth and you sound like.
I don't understand like how they work.
Yeah.
And you put these, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And you go like, you put them over your mouth.
Yeah.
I bought one. I don't know. Seemingly no one in my school had gone to Covent Garden, so I had no idea what these were. So I put this into my mouth before I came into school, and people's minds blown. Like, I was literally going like, pull my finger, and then I was like, and they were like, oh my God, how are you doing that? I was like, tuck my nose. And I go, look, to the point where the deputy headmaster, the deputy headmaster was walking through the playground, and I was so ADHD hyper that I was like, yo, sir, pull my finger. And then like, and he went, oh my God. This is honestly true. Honestly true. He went, how did he do that? And I was like, don't know, I've just got the knack. And he went, well, can I do anything? I was like, you can like beat my nose if you want. And he went like, yeah. And he went, okay, seriously, Jordan, you're seriously talented. You've got to do this in the assembly. And I was like, what do you mean? He was like, no, next assembly, Friday, when you have the talent section, I want you to stand up and show people what you can make this noise with your mouth. It's just fucking amazing. So I was like, okay. And he walked off and I was like, oh my God. Like, I'm gonna. So for like 3 days, this was like this on the Tuesday, I was shitting myself. Like, I do I just do it and like pretend that I can actually do it? Anyway, by the Thursday, I buckled. I was like, this is not worth it because someone's going to mug me off. So I've gone into the office and I've gone, listen, sir, I can't actually make that noise in my mouth. It's a piece of wood that I bought from Covent Garden.
Confession.
And I got detention.
It's because he felt bad. It's because he felt stupid.
This
That's
guy
why.
Was like, are you kidding me? He was like so gassed about me doing it in front of the whole school.
He'd already been in touch with Newsround, Lizzo, yeah, like, we've got a special
like
skill.
Prime Minister, you're going to be the Prime Minister the week after. Like, it was.
But you know, to try and give some context to that outrageous climate change, like thing being at Downing Street and GF+5 thing, the reason I got there is purely based, and you'll love this, is that in year 9, I was in geography, and there was a competition by DEFRA, which is the Department of Environmental
Freedom. Sorry, by DEFRA?
Yeah, what?
DEFRA.
Okay,
the Department of Environmental, Food and Rural Affairs. So DEFRA, okay. Not
of course, DEFRA. Come on. Come on.
It was like, convey the issue of climate change to people of your peers via a medium of your choice. What they didn't realise was that my mum had just bought an iMac and had GarageBand on it. So I've literally gone home and been like, I'm going to make a fucking radio show, Wikipedia'd climate change, put on these voices, like, it was supposed to be 2 minutes long, I made a 10-minute long radio show.
Yeah.
All these radio presenters had different voices. It's like, hello, you're into Smooth Hour. And we're going to do a call.
Wait, how old were you?
I was like, 13. And I was like, are we going to do a call-in with Stephanie from Bromley? She's going to talk to us about what she feels about climate change. Like, all right, I'm Stephanie from Bromley, and my son always litters, and I think it's a really bad thing. And then I even put in adverts that went, dun, 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 socks for you. And buy one sock, get the other sock free. And there's all this shit. And I won the competition. Right. And I get this email going like, you've got to come up to London and meet the guy from Defra. And I got into an interview and he was a Kiwi guy. I can't really do that. He's like, Jordan, I've heard the radio show, and it's fucking good. He's like, no, I really like it. And it's like, you know, you did it. And I ace the interview because I'm quite a people person. Mm. Next thing I know, I'm in Switzerland on a glacier. Right. Yeah, this is real shit. I'm in Switzerland on a glacier, being talked to by this guy. He explains to me why this glacier is melting at an alarming rate. And I'm like, I didn't know shit about climate change, so I nicked it off Wikipedia. 3 weeks later, I know everything about climate change. And when I got to the GA+5 thing, I actually, the DEFRA thing ended and I got rehired by the British Council. Wow. And I went to this place and GA+5 was like United States, Mexico, Canada, and then a few other places, I can't remember. But I remember a lot of these kids were fucking bright. Wow, yeah, like yeah. The kids from America were going to Harvard, right? And the only reason I blagged this stuff is because they were so intelligent, but they had no speaking skills. Yeah, yeah. So they'd like to have all this smart thought in, like, you know, they'd be speaking intellectually in person, and I'd step up and be like, yo, what up, Japan? It's like, what's up? Yeah, listen, what I'm trying to say is, all the way from the UK, we straight be putting litter in bins. What are you saying? And they're like, next Prime Minister, you've smacked it.
Well, I was going to ask you, one of the actually, we haven't even talked about Wildhood. Come on now.
I tried about an hour and 45 minutes ago to say, hey, I really like your new album. And I do. I'm not just saying that to help the link into the next part.
Thanks.
No, I do. I think you told me about... Oh, I don't know.
I did. I probably did. No, I did. No, I did.
Ooh, okay, I'll let you have that one. Yeah. Good, I like it. It's different.
Thank you. Yeah, it's me, like, it's me whinging, singing. Not whinging.
Cool, so great about that. Holly, how's it going with you?
Hey, give him another minute. Go on.
I don't know what I was going to say, if I'm honest. Like, it's, you know, listen to it. It's called Wildhood. It's like childhood, but with a W.
So you're taking a bit of a break from, like, Rizzle Kicks?
It was in the middle of chilling with Rizzle Kicks. Kind of birthed just from... When you're a happy hip-hop duo, there's only so much ground you can cover, really. There's lots you can express, because we made our lane quite early on. Yeah. You know, like, we're happy, we're bubbly. We've got a couple of tunes and we're, like, a little bit deep, whatever.
There's the one about necrophilia that
didn't get on the album. But, right, like, there are a couple of, like, deeper moments, you know, when we kind of talk, like, odes to...
odes to chodes.
Yeah,
these are
diss tracks that never made it. Yeah. Like, fuck news around, hashtag. But, like... But they never made it on the album. But I wanted to just express, parts of my... I think, without getting too, you know, into it, like, I think there's a lot of, like, complexes and kind of, like, internalising that occurs when you're in a pop and mainstream market. Mm. Yeah. And it's, like, it's kind of a bit... crazy, and it's difficult to explain because people dismiss it on the basis that you're a pop star. So, like, I remember one time as well, like, people, I remember it was like a James Bond premiere, already phenomenal, like, perks of being famous. Skyfall premiere, and then I'm sitting there with me and Holly eating sushi like bosses, right? And this woman comes over and she's like, I got one little thing, obviously you've got to be cool as shit, but eating, man, like, that nauseas me up. If someone's consciously doing something that's not taking a photo, at least be polite enough to let them finish, I think. That's how I'd go about it. So I'm eating, this woman comes over and goes, sorry, darling, I don't mean to, like, get in your way. And I was like, I was unfortunately in a little bit of a mood, which happens to people sometimes.
Humans get.
And I've gone, well, you can't get in my way, I'm eating. And she was like, oh, all right. And I was like, no, I don't mean to be rude, but, like, I just want to eat my sushi. Mm. She's like, well, it's not my fault you're famous. I went, actually, it is.
Yeah.
I remember thinking,
you came over to me.
I was like, you actually, clearly, this is, you are a fan, which means that, anyway, It's just like there are like a couple of you kind of get treated like a bit of a statue sometimes, and it's like aside of the many perks, I'm not undenying, but people dismiss it on the basis that you've got money and
you were young as well, so
there's always like there's issues that I get that kind of get internalized, and I think that's why you see a lot of like young stars crash and burn, like and I basically wanted a platform in which to get out a couple of my concerns, and also some deep and dark shit has happened since I've been famous that no one will ever give a fuck about. You know what I mean? Like, if anyone, you know, you get interviewed by like The Sun or some like fucking red top piece of shit like that. Yeah, like, and they're like, and they kind of ask you, and, you know, even me saying that, I can just hear my fucking press agent going, well, don't say it because they'll come after you, you know, they'll find a story. And it's like, they'll ask you a question and like, you have to be happy. They don't care like about, and it's like, if someone went to me like, so guys, you know, you've released a second album, how's it going? It's like, well, actually, I'm really fucking stressed out because my label wants us to get another top five, and actually, you know, like my mom's just lost her job, and I'm, you know, like, and my mates just fucking pissed me off, and I lost my girlfriend. They'll be like, but you're rich, and you did a song of Ollie Murs, so. It makes sense. I get the formula. I get it. It was all white teeth and thumbs up. I get it. Like, and I'm happy to do that pop star life. But Wildhood was a means in which personal, for me to be completely honest. And some people will see that. I think most people will see that. Some people will probably go like, "Oh, look at you doing this kind of side thing." But I have nothing to worry about because I know that I wasn't trying to be anything other than
also from your heart, and that's really important, you know.
I saw Lauryn Hill. Sorry, about a year ago at O2 Centre, and obviously that was like, oh, fuck, I've got tickets to go and see Lauryn Hill. I am mad. And I stood in the audience watching her, and like, I love the night, and she's right there, I can see her, but it wasn't like the kind of night I'd expected, because I couldn't sing along to every tune, so it was a little bit of me like, was like
super fast and shit, she?
And I saw like night Indigo. Two
I was there,
I think. There was like three nights, I think, because she'd said the night before she'd got completely like all her comments were just like, oh my god, I don't want to hear all this new stuff, I want to hear blah blah blah, and like there's a bit of that. But she said on the night I was there, she said like, but I'm an artist, like I want to be able to play. She was like, all these years on, imagine if I still want her to play something from 20 years ago. Like, to her as an artist, that's done. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's that's her. I expressed it then, but now I'm, can I not come out to my fans and like express my new stuff?
Of course. Way more importantly than all of this, and probably every past minute of this entire podcast is DJ Premier related, because I wanted to ask you.
Right.
I just wanted, because obviously this is something that, like, I mean, I've brushed over when I, you know, when I, when, when we've, you know, liaised in our personal time about this, about Primo.
I'm about to go see him next week,
So you're going to go see DJ Premier next week?
Yeah.
AKA the greatest hip-hop producer of all time.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you said it, I said it first. So.
Yeah, it's fucked. Shit.
So you've worked with Primo already?
Yeah. We made three songs. Two, actually.
And I haven't heard any.
I'm going to play, one of them is the main one called Ride This Wave, which we're going to try and get on the next album. But you know what? Yeah, it was fucking mad. And I can't, you know, I sit here all like chill about it, but it's interesting because we had a bit of backlash with that shit, because obviously hip-hop comes with a certain element of purity. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of purists who believe hip-hop has to be a certain amount of things. Mm-hmm. Some of them are middle-class white kids who sit in a bedroom and decide to appropriate.
Anyway. Of course.
But like, but there is, of course, there's a whole culture. There's five elements, you know, there's like, you know, there's a lot of stuff to tick. And we don't tick all of them. And I understand that. Mm. But like, I love rap. I love the art of it. Anyway, Primo's come over to London to do some sessions. Real talk, the dude picked some certain artists to work with, and he picked us.
Oh,
and I
don't,
and like, I think it's just because out of, like, when people hear Rizzle Kicks in the UK, it comes along with a fuckload of our face everywhere, which get.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you get like Down With The Trumpets and all that shit, but then you get us on like Celebrity Juice or some fucking Capital advert or like whatever, and then they're all great exposure for us and it's brilliant, and we're on Buzzcocks and all this and that. But sometimes you don't want to see someone's face the whole time. Do you know what I mean? I want to see everyone on every article, the front of this.
And then how is that different from Snoop, who's on every advert? And
no,
everything.
I know, but Snoop's done, it's different because we were kind of overnight. Some people don't know where we came from. I don't know. I just feel like, but Americans, our interpretation in America is very different, because people just listen to us for our music, and ultimately we're just Daisy Age hip hoppers who just rap about dancing and being happy, which is actually where hip hop started.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it was just a method in which to sample funk and have a good time. So anyway, it was amazing, and we're boys now, like, for real. Like, I don't even chat to him most of our chats are just really immature. Yeah. And like, you know, and like he's a dude. And when we worked with him, he Instagrammed a picture of us and he had all the purists go at him and he answered everyone.
What?
Oh, and I remember He sat there and they were going like, oh my God, you're in the UK, you shouldn't be working with Rizzle Kick, you should be working with like, and he's gone, no, like you don't know these people, yeah. Like I like them, I like Jordan, I like Kylie, we get along, it's fun, aside yeah. of the music, we just have a life.
And it's a shame when it comes along with a little bit of celebrity, like you said, it's only a little extra advert and, or capital yeah. extra advert and then you're gimmick, but it's not, yeah, you didn't get into it for that, you didn't get into it for the advert.
No, not even, it just comes with it. Yeah. It was literally overnight as well, so like, we couldn't really do much to stop it.
And that's
it.
Not your fault, do you know what I mean? That's...
Yeah, but he's a fucking G, to yeah. answer you, like he's a Don, we went to the fucking studios in New York and Showbiz was working in there and like nice. Yo, and all the fucking D&D, there's all the plaques on the wall and
yeah,
you could smell everything. Smell the heritage.
Smell everything.
You know what else you like, can do, oh, just for the record? I don't know if anyone's ever seen this, but like some people have this weird ability to be able to harmonize with their own voice twice.
Right.
Have you heard about this?
I've heard about
it. There's like holes in your vocal cords or something, yeah. and Primo can do it. So if you ever, if
why has he done it on record?
Because it's a bit of a weird skill. Like I just found the video on my phone. There's a video. It's gone like, I don't know if it's viral, but
yeah,
there's a female singer who's singing with this band, and yeah. she starts singing and harmonising with herself, and the band leave. They get so gassed, they go, no, the drummer just runs away. He goes like, what just happened? Like
Chucks
the devil was in the world. And we showed Primo like, yo, look at this, and he was like, ah, and just did it, and we were like, what the fuck? It's on our Instagram. Yeah, he harmonises himself twice.
Wow.
He's like, listen to one I can draw. I can't even like,
that's Stephen Hawking.
Oh, God, that's fucking
honestly,
weird.
Yeah, he's such a genius.
Wow. Yeah, I've met him once, but it was in Tokyo, right, where I was at, there was this record store that I was down at, and the guy that was running a record store was like, want you to come down, just do like a little like interview on the camera or whatever. I was like, cool, no worries. And since you're here, introduced our two guests that we have in the record store tonight. I was like, yeah, no worries, man. So I Skeptic, da-da-da-da-da, Tokyo, da-da-da-da-da. Sorry, who have we got? Yeah, Pete Rock and DJ Premier. I was like,
fuck. Yeah, that's mad.
What?
That's mad. I meant to say this earlier, I have got a really embarrassing first meeting story, which was the year that Kanye played Big Chill and he said Hello London, hold tight Kanye. I was at the time quite good friends with Yasmin, who's a female singer and DJ and radio presenter.
Big up Yasmin.
She was chilling with Idris Elba, right?
She did.
Now at this point, I don't think he knew who I was, none of that shit.
Yeah.
She's going, Jordan, you got to come down and chill with Idris and I. And I was like, and whoever he is with, I was like, oh my God. We're standing there and we're talking about something and I bust a joke, yeah? And he starts cracking up. Right, and I was like, oh my God. I was like, I made him laugh. You know, sometimes when you're laughing with someone and you punch him in the arm.
Oh, bro, you didn't punch him in the arm.
So we're like all laughing. We're like, and I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm going to give him a little dig. And we're like, and I just go,
no.
And literally, like, he just looked at my fist. I remember him just went,
no.
And no one was laughing. I looked at him and I was just like, and I just walked off because there's nowhere to go other than explain to him why I punched him in the arm.
Have you punched any of your heroes in the arm, Holly?
No, Kathy Tita Jones gave me a scar on my knee that I've still got though. You can have it if you want. Yeah, she in our scene. It's not spoiling now because
you don't.
You haven't seen it.
Dad's army.
As soon as you lose. Yeah.
Yes, I was.
Yeah, cover your ears then. She gun butts me basically.
What?
At some point in the film, go and see it. You know what
I'm
mean?
Already aroused.
There's action, guys. She gun butts me. Yeah. Kathy Tita Jones gun butts me, and I fall on the floor dodgily. Fell on the sand like in a weird way, but sand is just glass, isn't it?
So
that went funny, and I had a big old scar on my knee. But I remember as soon as I got up and saw it bleeding, I was like, eBay. Yeah, getting that in a jar at some point. But it never scabbed properly, so I couldn't.
You know what? You should have asked her to sew it up.
Yeah, personally. You
know? Yeah, personally sew it up. Like, that is fucking... on that beautiful final note, thank you very much. That is the end of Thanks for Trying Podcast Episode 2. Thank you very much to my guests, Holly Dempsey and Jordan Stevens.
And Lizzo,
watch your back in it. No, I'm joking, baby. I'm joking.
Thank you, everyone, for coming and listening.
Thank you to my guests, Jordan Stevens and Holly Dempsey, the show's producer, Seb White, and 808 Whiskey for the booze. The theme music is by The Last Skeptic, taken from The Revenge is the Best Success EP, out now on Thanks for Trying Records. The Thanks for Trying podcast will return next month.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.